Welcome to Postcast, David Locke and Ron Boone. After the Utah Jazz pull off a stunning win in Oklahoma City to tie the series, how did the Jazz come back from the 19-0 run? What were Quinn Snyder's adjustments that worked so well? And the dominance of the Wasatch front in the plains. Those are all the things we're talking about next on Postcast. Well, welcome, David Locke, along with Ron Boone, as the Jazz have evened the series at a game apiece. And, Ron, I got to be honest, you're going on the wrong side of a 19-0 run and, frankly, meltdown. The Jazz melted down. Rubio got the eight-second violation. They then threw a bad outlet pass. The Thunder were rolling. They're on a 19-0 run. And this group's been resilient all year, but that is the peak of their grit and resiliency to come back from that.
You know, during the course of the ballgame, I was just trying to remember the Jazz regaining a lead after losing it in that fashion. I don't think there was one all season long. I don't think there were too many games during the course of the year where the Jazz were down in the fourth quarter and they were able to come back and win the basketball game. So preparation, the will to win, and then Rubio, I thought, played very, very well. Donovan Mitchell, unbelievable ball game, especially in the second half, and then Derek Favors.
It's hard to decide where to start, but I'm going to start with a singular play tonight. Sorry, I got to undo my tie. All this, it's hot in here. I'm sweating. It's awesome. I want to go to a singular play. Donovan's rolling, kind of taking over the game. He's willed the Jazz back off the wrong side of a 19-0 run. There's a pick and roll at the top. They're trying to get Carmelo involved. Everyone can see it coming, and he goes away from the pick, which he hasn't done all night, bullets the ball to the corner, and Ricky Rubio buries a corner three. There's so many elements to this play because it's Rubio bouncing back from a disastrous stretch that led to the 19-0 run. It's Donovan continually showing the unselfishness to involve his teammates when he's rolling. It's kind of what this team's about.
And I guarantee you this, David, and that was huge. And I guarantee you, if you ask Donovan this, because I don't know if you remember, he was beckoning Favors. He kept telling Favors to come up, come up, come up, come up. And once Favors got there, then the defense sagged in from the weak side off of Rubio, and that bullet pass there to Rubio over in the corner to knock down the three. He saw it coming. I mean, he saw the development there, and you're right. He did go away from the pick in order to make that happen.
So I didn't think Donovan looked right all night. I tweeted it a few times. I didn't think he was particularly active. I thought he was had pain. I thought the fact he laid it up on the first play of the game was not a great sign. He didn't have his rebounds or assists that he usually has. I really thought that he was not physically right. The moment to me that changed for the Jazz, he goes in for a vicious dunk and misses it. He back rim checks it, but I think it was a sign to his teammates, like, we're not done at this point.
Well, whatever the case, I mean, it seemed to ignite and the team to the point where they just got a little more energy, made some big plays. And I think the fact that the Thunder missed a couple of plays, the Jazz get some offensive rebound, I mean, get the rebound, and then they push the ball up the floor. I thought that second half, the Jazz start playing a little careful, meaning they would start using the clock, but they were scoring during that possession strictly because of Donovan Mitchell's play. But they start using up the clock and scoring. And when you do that, it's awfully hard for a team to come back and win a game unless they're going up to the other end and scoring quickly. And that didn't happen.
This is a mammoth win, people. The numbers are like 275-19 if you go down 0-2. So they didn't win the series tonight, but you gave yourself a chance to be in the series. And you really weren't in the series if you lose this one. Let's go back to Donovan's fourth quarter. This kid is a rookie playing in the playoffs. He had 27 and 10. It was the first rookie since Magic to do that. He was one of like 11 rookies to ever score 27 points in his first game, a playoff game. And then he does it again tonight. I don't have the numbers. I'll try to find them. I'm certain that there's only been one or two players, three players, maybe, you know, Wilt and Kareem and some of those guys. But, I mean, in recent history, there's probably not a player that's gone back-to-back 27 in their first two playoff games and probably not a guy who's gone 27 in his first two playoff games. I mean, what he just did tonight against Paul George, of all people as well, is really incredible.
Well, what's so incredible about it is that, David, he doesn't play like a rookie. I mean, he's embraced the fact that this is my team. I'm the guy. I'm the go-to guy. Quinn Snyder's giving me the basketball. I have the green light. And he's definitely responded, which is totally awesome. He had 8 points at the half. Then he started scoring. He started getting to the free throw line, and everything started to snowball for him. But you're absolutely right. He's not playing like a rookie. Boy, just, you know, what else can you say about it? I mean, everyone around the league now is talking about Donovan Mitchell.
The game changes for the Jazz benefit in the second quarter when Derek Favors dominates the offensive glass, has 8 offensive rebounds in the quarter. I don't know how many points. Maybe it was late in the first quarter, actually, after Gobert got Adams went out with 2 fouls. Gobert went out with 2 fouls. And then Derek, in the late in the first quarter, he ends up with 11 first-quarter points. That was as incredible a performance from Derek as you're going to see.
Yeah, and 6 offensive rebounds. And a few of those offensive rebounds and some very strong putbacks with dunks. So he really, really had one of his better basketball games around the glass. And as you've mentioned so many times, his percentage of scoring around the glass has just been unbelievable. What'd you say, 60?
80, almost 80%, number
almost
one in the league this year.
Number one in the league, which is totally awesome. How about it? Made a couple of 3-point shots here as well, didn't he?
Yes, he made two of them.
2 for 3.
And that's a huge part of it. We talked about as the series started, the Jazz would be able to get looks. They got about 14 corner 3 attempts tonight. Right. The Thunder are probably going to have to make some sort of adjustment in that regard to try to take those away. The Jazz really, with the adjustments, did that. So let's get into that run. You've been at you went to both all practices this week. You've talked to all the coaches. We've been here for 3 days. You've been incredibly engaged interacting with everyone to get this insight, and you've got 50 years of knowledge. Without giving away stuff, if Oklahoma City listens to this, I'm sure they can watch the film and see it. But what jumped out at you that you feel comfortable saying that Quinn Snyder and his coaching staff did tonight?
Well, I don't think they would be upset with me saying that they wanted to attack early. Attack early if it was there, but then by that time, Rubio or whoever was handling the basketball could bring the ball back out. Now, Derek Favors or Rudy Gobert would go down to the free throw line and come back up to start the pick and roll. Instead of starting the pick and roll right when they, you know, like come over the timeline where the defense is set, they come back up, then they get into the pick and roll to the point where they're moving the basketball. You look what I have here. I mean, there's a lot of things here that I could probably get into that
we don't want to give away too much, but I mean, how impressed you were there? How impressed were you by the work that was put in?
Well, I think what I was impressed with as well was the amount of detail, the amount of time that was spent on every possession, every detail that they wanted to change and get done, from moving players around to different positions, so they know that if you're in this position here, then this is what you have to do. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're a guard and I'm Derek Favors and I end up in your position and they're still running the same play, you need to know what to do in that spot. All those little details like that helps your defense to the point where you're not lost defensively what they were trying to do. Quinn Snyder made sure, okay, 3 feet makes a big difference in what you want to do defensively.
I mean, he was moving guys 1 and 2 steps all over the place.
Absolutely. And he was so engaged that I'm going to say 30 minutes of that.
Oh, it was a lot.
Just 30 minutes.
Well, yesterday was 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Well, hour of film and an hour and a half on the floor.
Yesterday was probably the biggest day. And you know, we went from Westbrook to George and making sure that they want to take 2-pointers and make a present. I mean, it was just so much stuff going there.
So let me end with this.
Okay.
A Thunder thought. Their big three go 0-15 or 0-13 to close the game. Westbrook and Paul George clutch numbers are brutal over the last. What's your thought on their inability to close this game better?
Well, I'm not impressed with the way they close the ball game off. And This is what you have to be concerned with a team like that, that have 3 stars and you expect one of them to get going. Westbrook is the one that I'm probably more disappointed in than any of those guys because he's the one that attacks more so than any of those guys. And he's the one that can get those open guys open shots. But you have to credit the defense of the Jazz, if anything, that kept, you know, those guys from, you know, from getting what they wanted out there on the floor. Maybe it won't happen the next ball game. You know, who knows? But tonight, the Jazz really took care of business.
Well, it's going to be rocking city uniforms and a loud crowd Saturday night at Vivint Smart Home Arena. On behalf of Ron, I'm David. Thank you very much for tuning in. They're all just saying that you're awesome. Preach, Paul George. They think you're great.
Yeah, right.
They're right.
You want to see this stuff? Look at this.
Look at all those notes. Look at all those notes. That wraps us up. Thanks very much for tuning in today.